Podcast is kind of like a, it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hi, I'm Kara.
And I'm John.
And we're the Whiskey Raccoons.
And you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast.
Woo!
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with the Whiskey Raccoons.
Woo!
Yeah. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
You guys want to go ahead and introduce yourselves for those listening?
Yes. So I'm Kara Vonderbrugge.
And I'm John Presley. No relation.
Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of, I thought it was kind of funny though. Like, it's spelled different, but.
Well, according to some of my older aunts and uncles, they think that our name was spelled with one S at one point, and then for some reason it got changed.
But, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happened. I mean, that's a lot of stories with families. They added various spellings and stuff into it, but.
Yeah, so. John's brother, though, is named Elvis Presley. That's literally his name. Yes, yeah. Elvis Aaron Presley.
Huh.
And I love telling that story at gigs. John hates when I tell that story. But I'm sorry, how many Elvis Presleys are there in the world? Like, I kind of have to. There's not that many.
There's
not. But that's, so that's that.
Yeah. I was almost, so I'm glad it didn't happen, but, so.
You were almost an Elvis?
Almost.
According
to the story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I went to high school with a guy named Michael Jackson, so.
So in your high school, you had Elvis Presley and Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm. I went to, I had a Michael Jordan, it was a big white kid, but it was just funny that, I had named Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Anyway, we hanging out. We got a brand new record to talk about. So I thought this would be very exciting to get together and hang out and talk about this. So this came out the end of February. We said
February 27th, and I'm not gonna lie to you, we are really freaking pumped. We've been a band for 2.5 years, and we've been writing for two.
Yeah, at least.
And. And the first night that the first time we ever wrote music, we were like, I know, whatever. Like, I, like, wrote some lyrics down as, like, a poem, and John's like, let's just, like, put music to it. I'm like, okay. And we've been, you know, performing all day in...
Yeah, it really wasn't much, but, I mean, over time, you learn to get a little better at things, so...
Yeah.
I really think we're even though the first album is out, we're, like, writing for the second album, and the stuff that we're writing for the second album, I'm in love with.
So much better. Yeah. Which I'm not saying the first album's bad.
I think the problem is you write things, you play them a million times, you hear them over and over, you go to record them, you record them multiple times, and by the time you're done with the process, you're like, hey, this is out.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure I want to hear this one, but...
Yeah. And we're getting into... because, you know, when you're recording an album, you record the same song, you know, 40 different times, especially, like, on the album, I do all my own harmonies, so... And the other person who's doing harmonies on the album is Joey Benoit, who's our producer. Who's amazing. But all the female harmonies are mine. So we might do the song, finally get the song where we want it, and then go back 40 more times to do all the harmonies and et cetera, et cetera. So by the end of it, we were like, the album's out. I can't listen to it for a week because I need to stop for a minute.
Yeah.
But we're really excited.
Yeah. Available pretty much... everywhere digitally and
iTunes, Spotify. We have it up, oddly enough, on YouTube.
Like,
I
got
pushed to that, which is weird. But
SoundCloud.
Yeah.
We'd love if you would get it on iTunes, though. But no, I'm just kidding. No, it's everywhere. We just want people to hear it.
Sure.
It's interesting because we actually, before we ever recorded the album, we did like a listening party. So we invited probably 25 or 30 people that we were really close to, and we said, "Hey, the album's going to be full band, but we want to do an acoustic listening party, and we want to get your feedback for, you know, what do you think about these 12 songs that we want to record and lay down?" And I'm an event manager by day. That's my full-time day job. So in true Kara fashion, I made everyone like a form they had to fill out with every song and a rating system and directions and like all this stuff. And John's like, "Jesus, Kara, I thought we were just going to like chill out and play music." I'm like, "No, this is serious." So we did that, but we got some really, really good, interesting feedback. And it came out that a lot of these songs on the album are very, how do you say it? not like inspirational, but you know, you have these songs like Open Your Mind or, you know, Find Myself or any of these songs that are kind of like, I'm feeling down in the dumps, and then it kind of talks you through how somebody kind of picks mm-hmm. themselves back up. So I can't think of the word for that right now, but that's kind of what the album does, I think. Mm-hmm. About half of it, anyway. Uplifting, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
I kind of was a part of one of those before, it was before the record, so it wasn't like a, maybe like a true listening party, like, I guess it sort of was, sorry, but like, we got to kind of be in the process and like kind of help narrow it down to like, they had like 15 tracks and they wanted to put maybe 11 or 12 on the record. So we kind of got to sort of rate them, you know, what do we like best. So they, you know, they made this go in the factor of what they would put on the record. And it was just kind of fun to be a part of that process, though, as a fan, you know, like to get to kind of hear some songs that nobody else has heard yet. And yeah. then like, and just kind of be a part of the record making and.
It is, and it's cool to kind of get, like, I think a behind-the-scenes look, right. And we got feedback we were not expecting. Some of it was really good, and then there was, like, one comment that was like, Kara, quit screeching, and this is one part, and I was like, oh, I didn't even know I was doing that. So there was good constructive stuff.
Yeah, there was, I think overall it was a good idea. The way we did it was really, it actually worked out really well, because we got concise notes about specific things, and some people were very honest. We asked them not to sign their names to it, because that way they would be more honest.
Right.
We got some stuff in there that I think it helped.
And then you just go through study and handwriting and try to find out.
Well, there are some people you could just tell what it was.
We were like, okay, thank you. But for the most part, and it was funny too, because when they would rate it, one person that would rate this song as their favorite, another person would say, oh, this was my least favorite.
Right.
So that's always interesting to see, too. And it kind of brought us back to the mindset of, honestly, at the end of the day, you're never going to make everybody happy.
Yeah.
So you have to really perform and play and write music that resonates with you, and then hopefully it resonates with someone else.
Yeah.
But that's kind of what we did.
That's all art, you know. It's all open up to interpretation. Like, and that's, I mean, like, for the beginning of when I started this show, like, I did have a lot of my friends and my favorites on, and I know, you know, it was fun, but I'm like, well, this show's not for me. You know, it's like, all right, I need to have, even though I'm not necessarily huge fans of maybe some of the music, but like, I always have a great conversation with everybody.
Sure.
You know, it's like, I'm still supportive, but yeah, I don't really get into a lot of like super heavy metal, you know, stuff, but like. But these guys deserve to be heard, too. You know, the other people out there do like it.
Yeah.
Just not for me, so.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of the more telling things is before we put the album out, a lot of the tracks that were more upbeat were the ones that Kara really thought were going to take off. Mm-hmm. And when we're looking at the metrics and tracking things, a lot of the softer, slower, more like somber songs are doing better than the more upbeat ones, which is just interesting to see, because you would think that the higher energy ones would do better, but
So it's been really cool to like release the album and then receive feedback afterwards, especially because we're an acoustic duet when we play out live anywhere around St. Louis, and so to do an album that was full band was really cool. It was a really different experience, and it really did something to our music that I wasn't expecting. It took our music to a whole nother level, adding all those additional instruments. And our producer is actually the only other performer on the album. So he does all the male background vocals, the drums, the bass guitar.
He's what you call a utility player. He basically plays everything, and he plays everything really well.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he was awesome to work with. And he lives in Nashville. So we were traveling to Nashville consistently to record the album. We did do one day of recording here in St. Louis at Shock City Studios, which was awesome. And speaking of heavy metal, I was asking him, you know, so what other kinds of bands do you guys record here in the studio? And one of the technicians or engineers said, oh, here, let me just play this for you. This is what I did yesterday. And hit play, and it was like this, wah! It was like screaming metalhead. And so I'm like, oh, okay, well, hopefully you like our music, because it's very different.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting, you know, the spectrum of music and art and what people create.
Yeah. Well, let's get some of these tunes out here. First one you wanted to play was Foliage in My Whiskey.
Foliage?
Yes, Foliage in My Whiskey.
This, before we start, I'm going to tell you a little story that you normally tell.
So whenever we play this song live, because it sounds really good with a full band, but we wrote it acoustic, whatever, so we play it. So the way that we wrote this, we decided, hey, we're having a really good time writing original songs. So we want to continue writing original songs. So John came over one day. One of his buddies, Johnny Girano, came over. My girlfriend, Christina, who's our neighbor, ended up coming over. So there's like a handful of us. And we said, okay, let's, you know, go to a really creative, like, big open space to write some really cool music. So we walk over to Forest Park, which is, you know, right by where I live. So it was really easy to get there. We bring a blanket. And then we decided, well, it's, you know, like a Sunday. Let's absolutely bring booze. So John brings, like, whiskey and Coke, which is his normal thing. I bring my wine. And we're sitting over there in this blanket under a tree in Forest Park watching these golfers golf. And this leaf falls off this big oak tree and falls into John's whiskey and Coke. And so we're all kind of sitting there, we're just brainstorming, like, okay, what song are we trying to come up with? And John, always in his own world, just looks at me and goes, dang it, there's foliage in my whiskey. And I was like, song! And so he was like, yes. So we wrote the song in probably 10 minutes, sitting under an oak tree in Forest Park. And it was about a leaf that fell in John's whiskey, and we were all buzzed, and it was like a Saturday or Sunday. And we had a great time, and then we ended up running out of liquor. And so then we... The end of the song talks about how we can't drink anymore because we ran out of liquor. But it's really fun, so.
Foliage in my whiskey. Foliage in my whiskey. Sitting out here under a big old tree and there's foliage in my whiskey. Yeah. Well, it's me. Saturday, already buzzed, but that's okay, that's me. Drinking under my state tree, drinking under my state tree. Me and Bill and Joe McGee, and we're drinking under my state tree. Saturday, already buzzed, but that's okay, that's me. Well, the bottle finally ran empty. Damn it, man, I'm still thirsty, but my bottle done run empty.
Yeah, very cool. I think it is funny how like I don't know. I feel like writing especially a country song. Like if you hang out with like an old man long enough, like he's gonna say some crazy lines, and it's like that's a hook in a song right there. So like it's just funny that you pin like foliage in my whiskey. Like it's like oh yeah, there's a song right there. You know, so
we do that quite a bit actually. If we just hear something that's like gonna be a hook. Like, we were watching a TV show, someone said a line, we immediately took that, threw it in a note, and then later we wrote a song around it. It's pretty common, actually.
Yeah. It is very common. And with Foliage, too, it's such, like, an upbeat party song. And just going back to kind of talking about how we recorded it, we actually, at the end of it, the last verse, you hear, like, this whole group behind us. We got you know, just a ton of different people to come into our recording room, and we recorded it like 10 times over and over, these people like chanting, so it sounds kind of like we're in a bar atmosphere.
Yeah.
So that was a really fun experience to have. But yeah, I mean, we got this idea for this song kind of out of nowhere.
Right.
Same thing with We Didn't Die Here. That was a line that we heard in a TV show, and we like paused the TV and like ran over to my dining room table and just started writing. We're like, this is an amazing hook. We have to write something to this. So that happens to us, I think, a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Which is fun.
Yeah. We got to another one. We said, open your mind. And this is like kind of talking about, this is kind of more of the big like epic anthem type of track on the record. A lot of orchestration with especially towards the end as it builds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
thank you, Joey.
Yeah.
Our producer did all that, which is awesome.
When we wrote that one, Kara had actually had an incident happen to her, and she was writing lyrics because, you know, you write from life. And I came over one day, and I had been working on some music. And I was like, well, I got this music thing. And she was, I got these lyrics. And we just literally, basically, the first shout, that was probably the quickest song we've ever written.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just, I was playing through it, and she was singing over it with her lyrics the first time. And we're like, there it is. There's the song.
So. Yeah, it was like, and when we got done doing that, just goosebumps were like all up both of our arms. We were like, yeah, that was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Because John just started playing, and I just started singing. And somehow it was just like this perfect cohesion. And so... And it matched up the vibe of the song, the lyrics that I had written, the tone. I mean, everything was just right there, and we were like, okay, I guess we're done.
Yeah.
You know, so we went through it once, stopped. We're like, okay, that's it. And then we recorded it once on my phone so we wouldn't forget it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Joey added, like I said, kind of the background, the big building in the back, right, which I really love. There's strings in that song. There's
piano,
huge organ.
He's like
working it. Some big like drums to like a
yes,
big crash. Yeah. It's funny because they're huge, but they're sparing. Like he spaces mm-hmm. it out pretty well, and it creates a very epic vibe
yeah.
in the song. You know,
and that's what we wanted. And we're actually we're getting ready to record the music video for that song. So we're going to be doing some music videos to go along with the songs. So there's something visual on YouTube and stuff, and it takes months. I didn't realize how long this would take.
Sure.
But, yeah, it's been a lot of fun, like, listening to that song over and over and then really visualizing what do we see when we hear this song. And it's same kind of thing. I think it's going to be lots of color, very anthem-esque, very epic,
mm-hmm.
lots of, like, big camera moments, so
right.
it should be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Oh, well, I'm excited to see that. That'd be.
I hope so.
fun to get some videos out there.
Yeah, yeah. So we're excited.
Yeah.
Oh,
And I picked one of my favorite songs on the record, Saint Jerome. And this, and we kind of talked right before we were getting started, but I felt like this was kind of a nice other end of what you guys do. Like, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of more serious tone to some of these songs. And then, like, this one just was fun. Like, it was just a lot of, you know, just a good time, but especially, it was like super catchy guitar work in there. And it's just a, little more looser song to have a good time with. And
Yeah.
I actually, honestly, I don't know if there's any particular story to that one. We were just kind of sitting around and banging that out. Like,
there's totally a story to this one. Yes! Okay, so...
You got it, you go with it.
So, John drinks a lot of whiskey, so he forgets. So, a chunk of my family lives pretty far south from the city, about an hour south, and my mom lives in DeSoto. And so there was a barbecue that I was going to have to go to on a Sunday. And not that I didn't want to go down there, but I was really in the mood to write music. So I was like, hey, John, I know we're supposed to have band today, like band practice, but you're coming with me to DeSoto and we're going to have band practice down there. And he's like, what? I'm like, yeah. So gets in the car, drive him an hour south to DeSoto. And we're sitting outside, you know, around this like little lake in DeSoto. And he starts coming in with this, like you said, really catchy like guitar riff thing. And the first thing that popped in my mind were like, if I was like, right, I kind of felt like we were like kind of these nomads, like down in DeSoto, an hour south of the city, just like exploring and like whatever. So we wrote this song, Saint Jerome, about these three friends who go out on the road and they're just exploring whatever they can explore. And they come across this really interesting guy who kind of leads them down this path to their next stop where they meet this really interesting woman. And it's just kind of about this, like, tour of life, if you will, from these three random people. And it was really fun to write, and it was really random. And we just ended up, like, drinking beer and whiskey all day. And
I totally remember that night. It's that was a good time.
And wrote it, yeah. So we wrote that song down in DeSoto, and the barbecue was so much more fun. Because then John brought his guitar, so then we ended up being, like, the entertainment. So then people would be like, play Michael Jackson! And we're like, well, okay. After we're done with this song, we gotta write it. But that's kind of the story behind that one, and it ended up being really fun. And then, funny enough, while we're recording it, I'm recording in the studio, and my boyfriend Gary came with me to record this song. And so he's just listening the whole time. I'm belting all these big notes, right, in the middle of this song, and all of a sudden I hear, stop, stop. And Gary is, like, a really shy guy. And he comes up, and he's like, none of this makes sense. Highway 64 doesn't go north to south, it goes east to west. So he basically kind of was like...
Made her make it geographically accurate. Had
to readjust it and make it geographically correct.
Right.
So it didn't... All it really changed was like the directional and a couple cities and stuff in the song, but it was pretty great.
Sure.
I guess geography is not my forte necessarily, but...
Yeah, I was going to say wagon wheel probably bothers him because you can't head west from the Cumberland Gap to get to Johnson City.
Right, stuff like that. Oh, yeah. So he's like a quiet guy until like you give him the wrong direction, and he's like, all right, this is impossible.
Yeah.
Put my fist down. But yeah, it's a really fun song. Well, yeah.
Little white house, they could tell was a lie. talking about. Now listen to this. Bound by fate and Saint Jerome, the boys soon realized they found one of their own.
Stuff, but apparently the story, like in the show Big Bang Theory, like mm-hmm. all the equations you see like on the boards and all that kind of stuff, like mm-hmm. it's all like for real. Like that's
oh, really?
Like apparently the writers took like I have like scientists that actually have like wrote this, so like they pay attention to the details, make sure that what they have up there is accurate, like you know and stuff, and not so they don't get people like hey that's not
right. Do you know what
like,
the most medically accurate show on TV was?
What's that?
Scrubs.
Scrubs, yeah.
Most medically accurate show on TV.
Right.
Really?
More accurate than House or what was Crazy Anatomy?
Ooh, I love House.
At the time.
ER or something.
Yeah, yeah, ER, all that stuff.
Scrubs is number one.
I am glad that we got corrected, though, before we recorded everything, because...
I'm sure there are some people out there who felt the same way he did.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Right, right. And I was literally just like, yeah, sure, you can do that. I was just kind of like, this sounds good together.
Oh, I had the worst sense of direction ever, so I was just like, meh,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, so, but now it works out, and it's, I think we're better for it, so,
yeah,
yeah. And the song's really fun, and that's another one that we're putting a music video to, and so I can't
yeah.
wait,
mm-hmm.
you know, to see what that looks like, and
yeah,
it'll be good.
Very cool. And the last one we're going to play for the show is a track you guys have called Start Me Over. Last one, closing out the record.
Yeah.
And this is another one, like, just very fun for me. Like, it was, it's, I don't know. It's definitely caught me off guard.
Yeah, that's the point.
That was, yeah. I was kind of the hope. Actually, the way that I remember writing this, I think, is a little different from the way that Kara remembers writing it. But
probably because Kara was like a bottle of wine in, so I remember it very differently.
But there actually is a song that inspired the song, sort of. It's by
Sarah Barry Ellis.
Yeah, she does.
Sweet Asshole.
Yeah, and it's kind of like inspired sort of like that. And then I came up with this little, like, kind of like old school, like, upbeat sort of riff. It's just a little sweet little guitar thing. And then Kara was like, it'd be great if we just wrote this over. And I was like, let's do it.
So so I love that that's where your inspiration came from, because that's, I think, right down the line of as to what I was trying to do. So I had basically just gone through like this horrible breakup with this just huge D-bag. And it happened at like 11 a.m. on like a Friday. And I work from home, and this was 2 years ago or something. And so, because I just want my boss to know that I do work when I'm working from home. But this was a really bad day. So I broke up with this guy, and he like comes over and breaks up with me. I'm like, oh my God. And he leaves. So I'm like, well, time for a glass of wine.
Yeah.
So I get a glass of wine, and I just start writing. And I write all these lyrics, like chicken scratch on a piece of paper. And we were supposed to, I knew we were going to have band practice that night. So John comes over, and he's like, hey, got your text. Heard about the breakup. I'm like, yeah, it was awful.
Your John impression is amazing.
Because that's how John Presley talks.
Right.
And so he comes over, and I'm like, oh my God. And so I said, hey, I wrote these lyrics, and I want you to hear them and play some music to them. So that was the great part, was that we both kind of had this mentality of that we want there to be some irony. So when someone starts to listen to the song, they're like, oh, it sounds like kind of a sweet little innocent. And then they get into the real meat of the lyrics, and they realize, holy crap, this was,
right.
like, pretty bad, you know? Which is what I wanted from it. So it worked out. It was great. I love it.
Yeah.
This is for all the girls out there who've ever dated an asshole. Start me over, start me over, start me over. Each and every day. selfish prick, lonely, sad, mean man, you hurt me.
Be my one of my top favorite songs on the album, to be totally honest.
I like the slower stuff. I like well, I mean, not Start Me Over, but there's
Find Myself. Yeah, you love Find Myself. He loves Find Myself because we get into this weird
intricate guitar work in it, and it's like slower and more somber, and like that's, I don't know, I think I find that to be a lot more interesting because with the guitars on some of this stuff, like Start Me Over, the riff is cute, but it's really shallow. It's three chords. It's really easy.
Sure.
Start Me Or Find Myself is, for me, it's interesting because it's a lot of notes coming in succession mm-hmm. that are like not exactly easy to play. As a matter of fact, when I first wrote it, I had a hard time playing it even though I'd written it. So, I mean, I've got it now, but
thank God, because we recorded it.
So. From my end, it's for me, those are more
sure
interesting to listen to.
Yeah. Oh, they say what they say, three chords and the truth, right?
That's all you need, so. I think my hope was that Start Me Over would become like the ultimate breakup song. Like what I thought about was a group of friends sitting around after one of the friends had gone through a bad breakup, just like drinking a bottle of wine and listening to the song, and at the end of it being like celebrating. Like, mm-hmm. that's right. You know what? I'm going to start over. I'm over that. It happened. It's done. I'm mad about it, but it's done. And, yeah. You know? And that's kind of like what I had hoped would come out of it. So, right. Yeah.
Yeah. I totally get what you're saying. As an artist, you know, mm-hmm. you want people to acknowledge the fact that, like, man, I'm doing a lot more here,
mm-hmm.
you know, but people respond to
something. I mean, as long as you're listening to it and you're enjoying it, that's great.
Sure.
I think, like, it's just my personal opinion as a person writing music. Like, we get into a lot of stuff because music is difficult in that it's hard to write something that's truly new. Like, there are... Any song you can do, you can medley with 100 other songs because those chords have been used before.
Yeah,
you can do Lady Gaga into CCR, and it's
sure.
just whatever you want goes through. So it's hard for us to write something. We'll be writing something and then stop and go, that's already a song.
Yeah.
And it's too close to a song that already exists. We were writing a song at a friend of ours' house a while back, and we had someone else listening and go, that's that other song. And we're like, no!
We hadn't even heard of that song before.
Yeah.
We were playing a song we thought was completely new and original.
Mm-hmm.
And someone said, wow, that sounds kind of similar to this, and pulled it up. And we're like, well, scratch that. Let's go ahead and start over. So it gets interesting trying to create
absolutely.
Something brand new when there's been so many decades and centuries of
sure.
music, you know, in our books.
Yeah. No, I'm the same way. Like, I have... I always kind of have these dreams of being a songwriter and doing something, you know, doing some stuff with, like that. But like, whenever I sit to like write, like I listen to so much music, so all that comes out is everybody else's lyrics. And, like,
right.
It's like I can, you know, it's hard to really like section my brain off to like shut that off to where I can just write my own original thoughts and like what I'm. It's always ends up being everybody else's stuff. So it's I get it. It's totally, you know. But I think that's part of what, you know, why what music's great about, like, is like it's not necessarily that you're ripping somebody off. It's more of that inspiration and bringing it and trying to make it your own of sort. But,
oh, yeah. But
again, there's mm-hmm. you know, there's only so many guitar chords. There's only some, you know, so things are going to sound something similar. But
yeah, and we get inspired by songs all the time, especially. So our second album that we're working on right now. I think we have like 6 songs right now that were
something like that, yeah.
That are pretty well and like not completely done. We have some work to do in them, but
right.
for the most part, the concept, the lyrics, the overall the chord progressions are there. And we were definitely inspired by other songs that we heard,
sure.
or we heard something and we thought, ooh, that kind of sparks some kind of new fire, some, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'll try and evoke that mood, that same mood from the... There's actually one I'm really looking forward to. We've got one song that...
Water's Edge?
Yeah.
Ha! I knew it!
One song that breaks into three different sections, and, like, they are entirely...
Don't give it away.
I love it. Like, I love every second of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're really pumped about the second album. I think this first album, because it's our first one ever, and
right.
and we met on Craigslist in... October 2014. We met on Craigslist. John came over here, which if you're listening to this and you meet someone on Craigslist, don't invite them to your apartment. But I was like, whatever. I just did it. And my girlfriend Christina was here in case he was a creeper. Cool. And so he came over and we had this great practice and we became a band, which is great. But it was our first album. So we really didn't know what we were doing per se.
Yeah.
We were figuring it out along the way.
Everything's a learning process. I feel like, yeah, that's part of it. So... it's weird. It's like we picked up a lot of lessons, I think.
So. Oh, yeah. So I think the second one I'm just really excited for because I think we know more the kind of music that we want to write and how we want to write it, and especially listening to the album after it's fully produced.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You just, you know.
Yeah.
The things you can pull from that are, yeah, it's exciting. So. Yeah.
What? So did you say 2 years together?
No? Two and a half. Since October 2014. 2014. So almost, it'll be 3 years this October.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy, though, to, like, in that time, write, twelve tracks on the record?
Was 13 written for it?
There were 13, but one of them...
didn't work into the album, so...
Yeah. It'll be on the second album.
Yeah, but that's still, I mean, that's pretty incredible, like, in that, you know, in that amount of time, write, what, you're already up to a 7 for the next record or so, and then, like, so all these songs, and then have a record out and stuff like that. So a lot accomplished.
Thank you.
Was this the lyrics and things, or something you had been writing, or are you guys no. Or is all this started like kind of day one
along the way?
I don't think we ever stopped necessarily writing anything. It's all kind of written on the fly. Like,
well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, when before you started the group, like, if you had like things like, oh, I've been working on this song or something, or does everything start? Writing as what, writing wise, as
I think all the stuff that's on the album is stuff that was written basically for the album. I mean, I'd written songs previously that I have a problem with. I write a thing, I like it while I'm writing it. When I'm done with it, I absolutely hate it and I throw it in the garbage.
Yeah.
So I'd done that for a number of years beforehand.
Is terrible.
Yeah. Well, I think right now, though, we do write things like if I'm at home and she'll write lyrics or whatever and she'll bring them. But sometimes we just start new. We'll just go somewhere, start fresh, start writing, like when we sit down. And sometimes it becomes a song. Sometimes we just forget about it. Yeah.
Well, and I'll say this, too. For instance, Start Me Over, we wrote that night. I obviously had a terrible day. We wrote that song that night. We recorded it on, audio recorded it, sent it to some friends on a cell phone, and then forgot about it for 9 months. And then I randomly found the piece of paper that I'd written the lyrics on right before we started recording the album. And we were like, oh! Here, throw this into the album. So there are definitely things that we write and forget about. But when we started this band, we didn't start the band to write originals.
No.
We started the band to just...
go out and play, have fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And go do covers. And so we were doing that. And then, so for the first, like, I would say 2 years we were together, we were playing music so much out.
So intense.
That we were, like, dying. Like, we would have five or six days a week we'd be playing music every night all throughout the weekends, which we were super grateful for, but we were so tired. But after a show, our adrenaline would be so high, it didn't matter if it was 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And we'd done 7 shows that week. Our adrenaline was so high that we would come back to my apartment, and because my neighbor downstairs is 95 and crazy, sorry, Jane, but you are, we had to sit in the floor of my kitchen and quietly strum and write music. And so a lot of the songs that we wrote were at 3 a.m. after a bunch of shows. We were exhausted.
This is a perfect example
of that. This is us. We stayed up to like 5 a.m. writing one night after we had like 5 shows that weekend.
Yeah.
And,
We wrote it well before the show was even a thing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So we did. And we actually have been trying to like submit it to that show. This is us, but it's not worked so far. But yeah, I would say the original stuff just kind of started happening and it was so much fun. We got kind of addicted.
Oh, yeah.
And so now we're starting to have some like jam sessions where we have other original artists come over and we're going to start like collaborating and writing with them because we just think it's just going to help us grow. And we're excited for the second album and to see what it brings. And But I will tell you, every song on the first album, I love what we've done today, talk about the stories. Every song on the first album has a story behind it, which is like... So I'll just be interested to see how people react, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Well, again, grab your copy of this record, This Is Us, available on iTunes. You can stream on Spotify, YouTube, wherever you're wanting to listen to some music, you can find it out there. Do we have physical copies available?
Our physical copies will be here in May, and we will...
We're working on that now.
We are, so all the design... Honestly, this is our first album, so we didn't know how much went into it, and we're like, oh my God.
Turns out it's a lot of work.
Woo, it's a lot of work, but yeah, we'll have them in May 2017, nice. So, yeah.
Well, and then speaking of May, we do have a big show coming up. You guys will be playing at the St. Louis Zoo.
May 12th.
Yeah. For that particular gig, we'll be known as the two raccoons.
Yeah,
he's family friendly.
Family friendly at the zoo, so we're the two raccoons that day. And then we honestly post all of our shows and stuff on our Facebook page,
right,
and then on our website, so www.whiskeyraccoons.com. But so we'll be putting more up there as they come in, but that should be a really fun one.
Yep.
Be cool. Are we? Do we do a proper release party, or are you guys planning something like that?
We are. We talked about this. So one of our really, really good close friends owns the Corner Gates, which is right across the street from the Limp Mansion. And we've worked out with her previously that we would do our album release party there. So the goal is, once we have the physical albums in and we're able to, you know, give those out at the show and stuff, we'll do a full album release party there, which should be really fun. So,
which is, it's weird. Even... I know, like, everything's super digital now, and everyone's like, yeah, it's easier to do it that way, but it just feels strange. The album came out at the end of February, and it was, like, it was weird. It was like, yeah, and it's out.
Sure.
You know?
Right. It's out digitally, like, but... Hey. Right, right.
Yeah, so.
I mean, I really, like, the conversations come up a lot on the show, but, like, I think that's really kind of a cool way to do it, though, because, like, kind of get the music out there first, and then, you know, say whatever, you have a party in June or something, you get people got 4 months to listen to it,
right,
and they'll know all the words and come sing along with you at the party.
There you go.
Which would be awesome. That's the hope. Fingers crossed.
Right. I'm just saying, you know, something like that. You know, it'd be, instead of, like, here's a record and nobody knows these songs yet or whatever, you know, I mean, maybe you played them out live, but, like, you know, at least they can know what you guys did and have come in and just party and have fun with you.
Yeah, that's really the goal. And then hopefully we'll have some, you know, Joey Benoit, hopefully we'll have some of our really good friends who play music come up, and they'll probably play again at our release party.
St. Louis acoustic music scene is pretty large. I'm sure we can get some people out there.
Yeah.
It is. There's some great musicians in St. Louis and surrounding areas. So, yeah, but we'll definitely do a release party.
Yeah.
It'll be awesome. Well,
again, get involved online. All your social platforms, also Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Follow Whiskey Raccoons on there and get involved and catch some more show dates coming up.
Yes, and we will keep you posted.
this has been a whole lot of fun. I really enjoyed coming over here and hanging out, and the music, like I said, for sure.
Yeah, it's been awesome.
Like I said, I really like the record a lot. I like what you guys are up to, and it gets me excited for number two.
Number two. Thank you so much. And thank you, just also to say, my dog, if there's any weird background noise, that has been my dog walking around. So thank you for putting up with him.
Oh, he's been doing all right.
He's a sweet boy, but he gets excited when we have newbies over.
For
so.
Sure, yeah. My dogs are the same way. Everybody gets excited. Everybody comes to see him. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. He knows we're talking about him. So awesome. Well, thank you so much for having us. This was really fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really fun. Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.